Well, you've heard by now that this morning we're talking about serving and using our gifts in the service of others. When we look in God's word, we know that it means if we're going to follow after Jesus, we're going to serve other people. In fact, Jesus said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we know that following Jesus is all about other people and being willing to serve them. And as we turn in our Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 12, and if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open up to Romans 12. If not, don't worry about it. It's going to be on the screens in just a minute. But as we read together, we're going to see just how good God is to us, right? We're going to see that when we step into a relationship with Jesus, that he gives us something, that Jesus gives us gifts in order to be part of a bigger purpose, something that's bigger than ourselves, in order to be part of the church family, where our connection, where our investments, and where our relationships really do change things ultimately for the better. And as we look through Romans 12 today, my prayer is that every single one of us will see and know and understand that we have been gifted by God, and we'll begin to see how and where we can use those gifts in service to others. So Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4, God's word says this: "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though are many, are one body in Christ. Individually, we're members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. If it's prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes or gives, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy, do it with cheerfulness." Listen, those are the spiritual gifts that we see right there in Romans 12. And before we can go any farther, understand that you have a gift from God, right? And if you're wondering, do I have a gift from God? Yes, you, if you're a follower of Jesus, have a gift from God. It's not just the person sitting next to you. It's not just your life group teacher or somebody else in the church that you're thinking about. God's word says that you have a gift from him, right? God is so incredibly good to us, and I hope that that's good news to you this morning, to hear that you have a gift from God. If you look back in verse 6, God's word tells you right there that if you have trusted in Jesus, you have a gift that has been given to you by God. I love this phrase: when God saves you, he gifts you, right? He gives you that spiritual gift. He has imparted something in your heart, in your life, that was not there before you trusted him. And that gift was given to you in order to serve others, in order to bring glory to him, in order to build up the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this: "As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God." Right? Followers of Jesus have spiritual gifts. Followers of Jesus have been given that incredible gift by God. And you maybe have heard the phrase spiritual gifts before. That's where this comes from. Romans chapter 12. You see it in two other places as well. You see it in 1 Corinthians 12, and you see it in Ephesians chapter 4, where God, through his word, tells us and describes these different gifts to us. But you still might be wondering, what exactly is a spiritual gift? How do I wrap my mind around that? John Piper does a great job defining spiritual gifts. Here's his definition. He says this: "A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively in word or deed for the strengthening of someone else's faith." Listen to the end of that. For the strengthening of someone else's faith. Right? What an amazing thing to know that God has intentionally, specifically, creatively, thoughtfully given you, given me a gift for the sole purpose of glorifying him and strengthening the faith of the people around us, right? That this isn't something that God has given us that we should be proud about or that we should be boastful in. This isn't about us. This is about other people, a way that God has given us to serve them, right? God has not given us abilities to impress others, but he's given us gifts to serve others. This is not a prideful thing, right? These aren't natural talents or abilities, right? Spiritual gifts aren't things that you have been born with, that you have developed over time. Spiritual gifts aren't things that you learn in school. They are gifts from God to be used for the good of God, the glory of God, and the good of His church, right? The bigger picture. They're not a private thing. They're not meant to be kept to you and not shared with anybody else. It's all about the bigger picture and how we can use them in that. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we do, I just want to look at the gifts that are mentioned right here in Romans chapter 12, right? There's a handful of them. And let's just take a second to explore what they are to help us understand of maybe where we fit in some of these. The first one that's listed there is prophecy, right? And it's not telling the future, right? It's not knowing what's going to happen in advance. When we read prophecy right here, it's talking about speaking the truth of God's word. Someone that can take God's word and speak it into a specific situation. You think of guys like Billy Graham that would stand on a stage, a preacher from a while ago, and talk to millions of people a year, just boldly proclaiming the word of God. That man obviously had the gift of prophecy, but it's not just people that would stand on a stage and talk to a lot of people. Think about that friend in your life that always has the word to say, whether you want to hear it or not. Right, they can speak truth into whatever situation you're walking to straight from God's word. That person has the gift of prophecy. They can take God's word and they can speak it directly into your life. It's one of the spiritual gifts that comes from God, given to people. The next one is serving, right? A spiritual gift of service. It's people that are just doers. It's people that have this uncanny ability to see a hole or to see a need, and they just fill it. They jump in, and they're willing to do whatever they can, use whatever gifts they have to jump in service to other people. Yeah, that's a gift from God in their lives. The gift of teaching, right? It's explaining God's word to people. People that have this gift are passionate about seeing the light click on in someone's brain, right? They take God's word, the things that might be a little bit harder to understand, and they dig in and they study it and they learn it so they can explain it in a way that people can hear it, receive it, and then begin to go and do it, right? The gift of teaching. The gift of encouraging is in there too. And when we think of an encouraging person, we think, man, I like your outfit today, or you look good, have you lost weight, right? Those are encouraging things to say, but that's not the spiritual gift of encouragement. Right, the spiritual gift of encouragement is someone that can come alongside you and encourage you to do this. Right, encourage you to go deeper in your love relationship with God. It's someone that can come alongside you and encourage you as you raise your kids to, hey, hang in there. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep getting them in the word. Keep imparting God's truth in their life. Right, the gift of encouragement in that spiritual sense is someone that encourages you to follow after Jesus in all that you do. That the gift of giving is mentioned there, and we talked about that last week. It's not about the resources or the money or the amount. It's about the heart, right? The person that God has gifted with this gift of generosity to lean into other people's lives to bless them. Leading is one that's mentioned there. It's not necessarily talking about leading a company or leading a little league team. The gift of leadership from a spiritual sense is being able to lead people in their relationship with Christ, to help them rally together for the common good, to walk in that relationship with Christ. And then we see mercy, right? And that's just someone that has that sympathetic and empathetic heart, that's willing to sit with you, to cry with you, to love on you, to let your heart connect with their heart, and to just sit there with you when you need someone to be there with you. I think they're all up there behind me. So just take a second and look at the screen. And think about where you are. Who are you? How has God gifted you? Well, what has He imparted in you? What has He given you for His glory, for your good, for the good of people around you? Do you see something that connects with you where you would think, maybe God's done this in me? It's not me. I wasn't born with it. I don't have anything to do with it. God has clearly done this in my life. And as you're looking at it, know that this list is exhaustive, right? That there's more mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. There's more mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. And even if we put all of those up there, I don't think that we've come up with an exhaustive list. I think that God has given us these to paint a picture of the way that He gifts His children, the way that He gives us things for the good of other people, right? But you may be looking up on the screen at some of these gifts and you're thinking, you know what, I'm not sure what mine is, but I really hope it's not this one. Or I really hope it's not that one, right? Because all of us have gotten a gift before that we didn't like, right? I mean, all of us have been given a gift that we just didn't love, and what do we do when we get that gift? We smile and say, thank you, don't we? But in the back of our heads, we're thinking, how can I get rid of this? How can I re-gift this to someone else? How can I exchange this for something better? I remember getting a gift from my grandparents when I was 8 or 9 years old at Christmas time, and it was always just sort of, you just never really knew when you were going to open one of those presents. And as an 8 or 9 year old boy, I remember sitting in the living room of my parents' house and opening up this gift, and it was a VHS tape of like a how-to video to learn how to square dance. And I don't think that I had shown any interest in dancing, like, ever. Like, even till now, like, it just wasn't my thing, right? And so I'm sitting there as a little kid, a little boy that, like, wants a baseball to go outside. And I'm, what do I say about this dancing video in front of all my family? And so I smiled, but in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, how can I exchange this for something better? Right? I don't want this. I want something else. Listen, when we look at these spiritual gifts, we need to understand that they don't come with a gift receipt. Right, they're not something that we're going to switch out or trade out to something else. And that's okay, because listen, there is no better gift giver than God. Right? God made you. God wired you. God created you. He developed you to be who you are going to be. And he gives spiritual gifts to you, obviously for his glory, but for our ultimate good as well. And I'm telling you that his gifts, the spiritual gifts that God has given you, will be a source of joy in your life as you use them the way that God's called you to use them. They aren't a chore. They aren't a bother. They aren't an obligation or a drudgery that you've got to push through. I mean, look where they come from. Look back at verse 6. If you've still got your Bible open, these gifts flow directly from God's grace in our lives, right? They're a good thing that God has given us. And as we think about spiritual gifts this morning, there's probably two groups of people in the room, right? There's probably a group of people that are thinking, okay, I think that I know what my spiritual gift is, right? I've looked at this before. I've studied this before. I've thought about how God has made me and how God has gifted me. And you may be using those gifts right now for the glory of God. And that's an incredible thing. But there's another group of people that are thinking, okay, I'm a little bit newer to this. And so I am a follower of Jesus. And if I'm a follower of Jesus, what we see here this morning is God has given me a gift. I'm just not sure what it is yet. And if that's you, that's okay. That's exactly why we're walking through this. God's word would tell you to discover it, right? To lean in, to find it, to think about how God has gifted you so that you can begin to use God's gift in your life. And if you're wondering how to do that, let me just give you three very practical things that you can do to discover the way that God has gifted you. And I would tell you this, if you know how God has gifted you, write these down anyway and come alongside other people to help them understand the unique and amazing and good way that God has worked in their life as well. The first thing that you can do to discover the way that God has gifted you, according to his word, is just to do a little self-reflection. And that's a fancy way to say, just think about it, right? Think about the way that you're made, right? Think about what you're drawn to. Think about the way that you would like to serve other people. If you see a need in someone's life, think about your natural inclination to respond to it. Are you going to respond by giving them something, by speaking truth to them, by sitting and crying with them or loving on them? Just think about the way that you respond to people, right? The second thing that you can do to discover that spiritual gift is just practice. Right? Just begin doing things, and as you do things, you'll see the way that God has wired you. I read a book a few years ago, and it's called Just Do Something, because a lot of people sit around and wonder or sit around and wait. This guy encourages you to just jump in, right? See where God's moving. See where God is working, and as you begin to serve people, you'll discover some things that you maybe love or are good at that you never in your wildest dreams thought would be a part of your life. I promise you that as you jump into different scenarios, you're going to be surprised at the ways that God has gifted you. And then the last way that I would just encourage you to seek out or to find how God has gifted you spiritually is ask a friend, right? Talk to somebody. Just go to them and say, hey, you know what? And ask them this question. Don't say, what am I good at? Don't say, what am I like? Don't say, describe my personalities. Ask them this specific question. How do I help you encounter God? Ask him, what are the things that I do in our relationship that help you learn more about Jesus, that encourage you to draw closer to him, and then just sit back and listen to what they have to say. Because it's important for every single one of us to understand that this is not just a select group of people, right? Every person that has trusted Christ has been gifted by God. And that's important because when we gather together as a church family, not only are we all gifted by God, all of us have a part to play in our church family. Or maybe this phrase would connect with you a little bit more. You matter, right? You matter to the overall body of Christ. Look back at verse 4. It says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually we're members of one another." We are connected together, right? The entire body is the illustration that we're given there. I want you to think about your body. And if you had to make the choice this morning about one part of your body that you would go without, what would you pick? Well, for given the choice, nothing, right? Well, we don't want to get rid of anything, right? Our whole body has to work together. When I walk upstairs, I need both legs. I don't just need one of them, right? They work together just like every one of us should be working together to build up the body of Christ together. We're on the same team. John Whitmer says this, your right hand has never had a fight with your left hand, okay? On the contrary, they both work together, constantly helping one another, right? God's gifted you uniquely, wonderfully, out of his grace, and then he has called us together so that the body has everything that it needs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 15 through 20, where we see this picture again, and the word drills down a little bit more here. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15. It says this, talking about the body and the way that believers are brought together. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body," right? Without the hands here, we're incomplete. And verse 16 says, "If the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' that doesn't make it any less a part of the body as well." As things begin to be taken away from the body is in trouble, and there's certain things that the body's gonna go without. There's certain functions that the body just can't do as you begin to remove critical and important pieces to it. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 12 says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" Right? It's a big eye. I bet it sees great, but it can't do anything else, right? Every part is critical. Verse 18, "But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If the whole body were a single member, what would it be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." Listen, every single piece matters. That means that you matter. It means that you are essential, and you're one of those pieces that is there that is either connected or not connected. You are a part of the body of Christ. Separated from the body, you cannot exist on your own, and the body suffers as well. Every part is critical in coming together, and I hope that you see how important this is. And as we read this and as we think about this, if you're thinking, man, I don't have a gift, or you're thinking, I don't know what my gift is, you might be thinking, I'm new here, you might be thinking, I'm new to church in general, you might be thinking, I have nothing to give, I have nothing to offer, I have nothing to contribute. You might be thinking, I'm not good enough, you might be thinking, you don't know what I've done in my past or the ways that I've let other people down. Listen, whatever is running through your mind right now, I just want to encourage you to take all of those thoughts and look at them in contrast to Romans chapter 12, and you'll see when you put those thoughts up against God's words that you matter. Right? You'll see that you are essential and a vital part of the body of Christ. You'll see that if you're a follower of Jesus, you do have a gift. And as you look back at verse 6, we see that having gifts according to the grace given us, the end of verse 6 says this, let us use those gifts. Right? We're being gifted by God. We have a part to play in the body. And the last thing that we see from verse 6, use those gifts, is this. It's just play your part. Right? Play your part, the gifts of God that he is good to give us out of his grace are meant to be used to build up the body, right? To share the love of God right here with one another and out in the world around us. It's not something to wait on. It's not something to delay. It's not something to say, you know what, when this crazy season of life is over and things slow down, then I'm going to use my gift, because that's not ever going to slow down, right? You're going to trade one crazy season for the next season. Don't put it off. Jump in and use those gifts for the glory of God, because most of the time when we put something off, we never circle back around to it. Chelsea and I have this picture frame that's hanging in our house. It's hanging in the bedroom of our four-year-old son. They've got a picture of it up on the screen, and we bought this picture frame about 10 years ago. She's so mad at me right now. We bought this picture frame about 10 years ago, and it's one of those things where you're supposed to put like a sonogram picture in there and then pictures of the baby when the baby is born, and you hang it over the crib. And so we hung it over the crib, but if you'll notice, we never circled back around to actually putting pictures of our kids in that frame, right? Those aren't our kids. They came with the frame. 10 years, that's been on the wall of our house, right? Three different kids' bedrooms, it's been there, because we thought, hey, we'll circle back to this later. We never did. And now it's just this running joke in our house, and I don't think either of us want to take it down, because it's a joke when people go into those rooms. And again, she's probably really mad at me right now. We should have talked about that before this morning, but here's the deal. I don't care about that. You know, no, it's no big deal. Whatever. We didn't get around to it. But here's the thing, man. To look back on a 10-year stretch and to know that I didn't use the gifts that God has given me to build up the body, man, that would be a devastating thing to look back on for any one of us. To know that God has given us these gifts, and to put it off and to never come back around to it, man, I'm just telling you, that's not something that I want to think about. It's not something I want you to think about 10 years or so from now. So let's make sure that we play our part, right? Every Sunday, it's a beautiful thing to walk onto this campus, to walk into this building, and just be blown away by people that are using their gifts for the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing. Rachel McCown, she works in our preschool area, and she does such an amazing job. My life group class had a dinner outside last night, and Rachel was here in the building, getting stuff ready for this morning to build up and to love and equip our preschoolers and their families with the truth of God's word on a regular basis. You see our band and our worship team, our singers up here every single Sunday morning, and I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful and glad that they're choosing to use their gifts to build us up, to use their gifts to encourage us and to lead us in worship of our Savior. There's a guy named Gary that gets here before the sun comes up every Sunday morning, and he sets things up across the lobby. He sets up that tent that you'll see outside. He's got the spiritual gift of service, and he sees things that need to be done. And then he jumps in and he does it because he loves people and he loves God and he wants people to have an incredible experience. He sets that tent up outside because he's had an incredible experience here, and he wants new people to be able to connect and have that same experience as a part of the church family as well. And listen, I hesitated to mention anybody's names because I'm leaving out hundreds of people and doing that, but I just want to show that it takes so many different kinds of gifts to build up the body of Christ, continually pointing all of us to Jesus. And it's an absolutely beautiful thing to see how we're different, to see how God has gifted us differently and brought us together all for his glory. And another beautiful thing, something that I just really love, is that it doesn't stop when we walk out the door on Sunday morning. Right, that the church body, the body of Christ, it does not disassemble itself as it leaves here on a Sunday and then reassemble every Sunday morning. Man, we stay connected to one another. We love one another. We encourage one another. We serve one another in building up every single week, right? It takes everyone to make sure we stay connected and are built up for the body. Right, tonight, two quarterbacks, star quarterbacks, are going to jump on the field. Tom Brady is going to go for that next ring. I'm pulling for him. Patrick Mahomes is going for that ring. Texas Tech guy, I know a lot of you guys are pulling for him, but I realize probably more than both of those combined, there's a lot of people that are rooting for good commercials tonight. But what we need to understand about the game is this. No matter how great one person is, no matter how gifted one quarterback or one player is, for either team to do well, for either team to win, every single person is needed to play their part. Every single person is vital in using their gifts for the good of the whole. Right? The church family, every church family, our church family, needs people that are gifted by God right, with these spiritual gifts that know they have a part to play and that are willing to jump in and play their part. If you look behind me on the screen, that they're going to just scroll some things. These are things that happen every single Sunday morning. And right now, these are areas of need that are in our church, right? As we grow, as more people are coming back, as new people from our community are joining us, we've got areas for all of us to jump in and do our part, to use our gifts for the body of Christ. And as we've walked through the sermon series each and every week, we've had some just real tangible, practical applications of things that we could do every Sunday morning. And this morning, I just want to ask you to do one thing as a way of thinking about where God would have us serve. You'll see on the seats in front of you, there's those little QR codes. All of us are familiar with those now because we have to use those anytime we go into a restaurant. Take your phone out now, all right? In the middle of this discussion, I just want you to see some things that are available to you. And if you'll scan the back of your seat there, don't be nervous. This is no contract. You're not locked into anything. We just want you to see the different things that are available for you to serve and to use the gifts that God's given you. It's on the back of your seat right there. I want you to explore those, to think about those, to read about those, and to do so with a heart of prayer saying, God, where would you have me? Right, God, what can I do to serve the body of Christ? Maybe if you don't want to do that, if you're not good with the phone, that's okay. In the lobby, there's people from all of our ministry areas today that would just love to talk with you about how you could be a blessing in the life of our church. And for those of us that are serving, that are using those gifts, let me just encourage you, right? And invite someone to come along. You heard Rand's testimony earlier. What did she say? Someone invited her to be a part, and it launched her into a lifetime of walking with Jesus and building up the body of Christ. And she has been a blessing to so many people. Whereas we read God's word, we see that we matter. We see that God does incredible things when the entire body is working together in unison. So let's do it, right? Let's come together and be part of something bigger than ourselves. Let's be who God's called us to be. Let's be who God saved us to be. Let's be who God has gifted us to be and serve other people, right? Let's serve the body. When we think about church, we need to understand that the church isn't just a building that we go to, right? It's the people that we are blessed to be a part of, the people that we're blessed to do life with. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says this, "We cared so deeply that we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives as well." That is how dear you have become to us. We can have that exact same experience because of our relationship with Christ. Our lives have been woven together, right? We have this opportunity to love and to serve one another as we use the gifts that God has given us to build up the body, right, for God's glory and for our good. Would you pray with me this morning? And as we take a second just to bow our heads and close our eyes, I just want us to think about the word of God for a minute, to think about maybe how God's gifted you, to think about maybe how you've been blessed as you've served God before. Just think for a couple of minutes this morning. And as we think and pray about God's word, we're going to find ourselves in a couple of different spots. If you're thinking this morning, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't know what my gift is, this morning, just in this state of prayer, say, God, what is it? God, how have you gifted me? How can I discover that gift in my life this morning? And ask God. And the Bible says that when you ask, he's going to respond with wisdom. He's going to answer that for you. So ask God, God, how have you gifted me? Right? Another application or thought from this morning is how do we use it? Right? How do I use that spiritual gift and service to others? There's a ton of opportunities here in the body to plug in and serve or teach or work with students or kids or in our lobby or mowing with the tractor, whatever, you know, those things that Lewis talked about earlier. But listen, that's not all there are, right? There's opportunities just to use those gifts in faithful service to one another, just connecting with people on a regular basis. Ask God to show you how to use it. And as you do, God's word tells us that you will be blessed. I read this week, there's nothing more thrilling, more joyful, meaningful, or satisfying than to find our niche in the eternal unfolding of God's glory. Our gift may look small, but as a part of the revelation of God's infinite glory, it takes on stupendous proportions. Right? What you have matters. What God has given you matters. The way that you use it, it all matters. And we just need to remember that it all starts when we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Right? The Bible says that we get those spiritual gifts from God when we step into a relationship with Him. So this morning, if you would say, man, you know what? I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want that peace and confidence and hope and assurance that comes with knowing Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Listen, God's not going to give you that gift. He's not going to impart that to you until you're in that love relationship with Him. And so this morning, if you would say that you don't know God, or you're unsure about your relationship with God or your status with God this morning, all right, take some time to nail that down. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing one more song. We're going to have some pastors up at the front. They would love to pray with you about that. If you would need to say, you know what, I need to trust Christ, or I'm not sure where I stand with Christ, come forward and pray with them. They'll open up God's word and they'll show you what it means to follow Jesus. If you're interested in baptism, if you're interested in becoming a member of our church family, our body of believers that we talked about this morning, if you've got a prayer need, someone that's sick, someone that's hurting, you just need wisdom, you're not sure what to do or where to go next, any of those things, we'll be down here. We'd love to pray with you as we worship together. Father, we love you. We thank you for your incredible love for us. And this morning, God, this is just a prayer time for us. This is a time for us to connect our heart to your heart, Father. And so, God, I pray that as we step into this moment, it would be a time of prayer and worship before you. God, we thank you for the way that you gifted us. We thank you for the way that you made us. We thank you that we matter, God, in the grand scheme of things because of our relationship with you. And because of all that, Lord, we worship you this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Do you stand with us as we worship today?
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.